Hello, you're listening to Radio Maria. This is Mornings with Radio Maria with me, Maria Bates, and today I have on the program Delphine Chewy. Delphine, thank you so much for joining us. I'm really excited about this morning, about getting to know you and hearing your thoughts all about Catholic dating. So who is Delphine? For those of you who don't know her, Delphine is an award-winning journalist, speaker and charity founder from London, a Catholic revert and former women's magazine editor who experienced cancel culture for being publicly pro-life. She's passionate about learning and sharing how to be boldly Catholic in today's world, as well as speaking about God's design for men and women amidst modern dating culture on her YouTube channel. She volunteers as CEO of her befriending charity Care Dogs and has gotten back into writing after a sabbatical of finding her voice again. Delphine is most active on Instagram and YouTube at Delphine Discusses or on LinkedIn and Twitter at Delphine Chewy. Delphine, I'm so, so happy to have you on the program today. Anything you want to say about yourself, first of all? That's been a little intro about all the different things that you get involved in. I have to say, I'm not used to introducing people with so many different things that they are active in, but it's wonderful to see, really wonderful to see.
Thank you so much, Maria, for having me. And yes, I hope it's not one of those jack of all trades, master of none type situations in my case. But yeah, just been a few pivots, I think, especially after I did revert back to my faith. And just, my Catholic faith is just the heart of everything now. And I think that's really changed the trajectory of my life. So that's probably why my bio is so long. So my apologies.
No apology needed. And actually, variety is the spice of life, as they say. So I definitely think the, what was it? Jack of all trades, master of none. I don't agree with that.
Thanks, Marie.
So Delphine, what got you interested in the Catholic dating scene?
I think there was a few things. So as a women's magazine journalist in my 20s, everyone was always obsessed with relationship trends. And there was very much little recognition of tradition and why tradition works and why the nuclear family is great. And so it was a lot of kind of dissecting these trends and fads in relationships. And then I think when I really learned, you know, like the theology of the body, what marriage really is, the meaning of love, according to the catechism, I was like, wait a minute, we've been completely duped this whole time into thinking that love is something that's constantly changing. And so I think that made me interested. And then when I started going to young adult Catholic events, I was like, oh, I feel like I'm at university again, because when else do you have an opportunity to meet so many men and women? And then I was just seeing that the men and women were not talking to each other. And I thought, wow. Oh no, there's an issue here.
So what did you do? You observed this when you were at these young Catholic events. What was your next step?
That makes me sound a little creepy, doesn't it? I actually am an anthropology graduate. So that is kind of what we do. We just observe. But yeah, I think I just realized that there was a lot of, I don't know, there was a divide. Like the women would really stick together, the men would really stick together. And I was hearing lots from both genders that they were really feeling frustrated about, you know, feeling that they're called to the vocation of marriage, but not meeting that person yet. And I was thinking, you're in a room with like 40 people of the opposite sex who share at least your faith values with you. What is going on? So for me, I was wondering if it's a confidence issue or if there has been a breakdown in society between male and female relationships, I think, in general. I met a young man on Sunday who said to me that he is too scared to ask a woman out for a coffee at risk of coming across creepy. And I thought that was really sad.
Wow. So why do you think that is, that in modern day, you know, in the past, maybe it would have been, that was the only way to actually get a relationship or move forward at all. But why do you think now that's so difficult for men and potentially for women too?
Yeah, I think, you know, the sexual revolution and the rise of feminism and the various different waves of feminism have made it really difficult for both men and women to know like the right way to act. And of course, there's no one size fits all. We have different personalities and different charisms, as, you know, given to us by God. But I think sometimes the rise of feminism in some regards, in terms of equal dignity, equal value, are great. But in the differentiation of like, oh, men and women have to do things completely differently, but also completely the same, like a woman can do anything a man can do. So suddenly, you know, men were maybe worried to offer a woman a seat on the train, or they were worried to ask a woman out or to pay for dinner because a woman can do that now. And then I think the rise of the Me Too movement, especially among Hollywood, which of course we are against harassment or sexual abuse of women in any regard, but it bred this idea of toxic masculinity. And I think now we have a problem where we have men who are so worried about coming across toxically masculine that they don't know what masculine means anymore. And then you've got us women who we've been fed so many different versions of feminism. We don't know what femininity is anymore. And you've got very confused people, including myself, trying to navigate something which, you know, was God ordained and quite simple to begin with.
It's really interesting how in trying to bring equality between men and women, we almost lose the understanding and appreciation for what true femininity or true masculinity is.
Yeah, 100%. And again, you know, that's going to look differently for everyone because, you know, you'll have some women who are very gentle and, you know, love wearing dresses, and you might have others who are more, you know, confident and loud, and that doesn't mean that either or are feminine or not feminine. But I think in terms of the natural order of things, things have become very disordered. And that's what I'm seeing in terms of you know, biological sex, but also dating in general, courtship, love and marriage. It's just there's a lot of disordered ideas out there.
Yeah, well, it's interesting you mentioned earlier about the struggle that a lot of men can have in the fear and the nervousness in asking a woman out. What are your thoughts on women asking men out?
What are my thoughts on women asking men out? Good question. I personally wouldn't do it. I don't know if that's a controversial statement. I would much rather drop the hanky, which is like this Victorian term of how women used to, you know, if they were at a ball or something, they would just drop their hanky. And if a gentleman picked it up, it was a bit of a like, I might be interested in having a conversation with you. So I'm really interested in ways that women, I think we're very much called to be like open and receptive. But I do think it's quite healthy for a man to pursue. And that again is a word that can make people think a bit, oh, does that sound predatory? But I don't mean it like that. I more mean that I think it's like a dance. And, you know, men ultimately in marriage are called to lead. And I think there's something really beautiful if he starts that from the beginning. But my caveat, and obviously this is my personal opinion, but is that the woman needs to be very open and almost inviting. So, you know, like I see people with all their various different resting faces. I won't say the most popular ones since it's got a swear, but, you know, just smiling, just going to events and smiling and being open to talking to anyone. You know, and inviting that conversation, I think. So my caveated answer to that would be, I think women can do more to be proactive in that kind of invitation.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for that. It's very interesting that you bring up the Me Too movement and start talking about Hollywood. Just coming back onto that, are there any models in, by which I mean any figures in Hollywood or figures in the media to whom you look up to? Or you think that we could learn from when it comes to dating and relationships?
Mainstream or Catholic figures as well?
Any.
It's really interesting because I saw that there's like a rise in excitement because a lot of the Disney stars, so you know the Disney stars were all similar ages, so you've got like the Vanessa Hudgens, the Lindsay Lohans, and they're all kind of in their mid to late 30s now, and they're only starting to have children. And there's been a real wave of joy because they've been so upfront about, you know, out of everything they've done in their careers, this is the most amazing, profound thing. And I think that's so healthy for young women to see who grew up with them, that they are really embracing motherhood. There are some couples, I'm trying to think of ones who are slightly less on the radar. I grew up watching Buffy the Vampire Slayer. So I know that Sarah Michelle Gellar, she married Freddie Prinze Jr., who was kind of like another actor. And they really just removed their relationship from the public eye. And they have like a family and you don't hear anything about them. It's like their private life is their private life. And there's something beautiful about that. And in America, I think we have a lot of Catholic influencer couples who are great to follow, like Jackie Francoise Angel, Bobby Angel, and also Emily Wilson and her husband. So I do think there are, in the mainstream, it does become harder and harder to really look up to, because of course there is this whole culture of divorce and, you know, celebrity relationships are just quite salacious by design. And there are a lot of just these mini marriages and then divorce and breakups. So it's not the best model, really.
It's tricky because a lot of the way we learn often is by through example, by looking at the people around us. And that's great if you have some if you witness healthy marriages around you, healthy relationships around you. But if you don't have that, then the media can be the place that we look to, for example. And that can be really difficult for finding that example to mold your life towards. So I love this concept of the young Catholic adult group where you had the men and the women but not interacting. Do you think that dating apps have anything to do with the way that men and women interact right now? And what's your opinion on dating apps? And do you have any advice for any Catholics out there questioning, do I, don't I?
Yeah, absolutely. I think dating apps have, I don't know. I think I'm having a bit of a downer about them at the moment, because I think that the problem with dating apps is, A, it does make people feel a little bit disposable, like to just swipe through people's faces like a catalogue is just a strange concept to me. And also there's an amazing Fulton Sheen quote, which is that you should love people and use things. And I feel like we have really distorted that in the modern world. You know, we love things and we use people. And in a way, I do think dating apps could fall into that category. Also, there's loads of consumer research that shows that we have so much choice, and this is about things like jam, like I'm talking about grocery goods, but when we have so much choice, even when we feel we've made the best choice, we walk away feeling dissatisfied because we were so overwhelmed that there were so many options. So I do fear that dating apps might make it feel that way. I also fear that it makes us lazy. Like instead of, me just trying to, you know, invite conversation with a man that I think is attractive at a young Catholic event or who, you know, I might think, oh no, that's kind of awkward to do in real life. Maybe if I see him on an app, I'll heart him or something.
Yeah.
So he gets the message. So I think it's almost creating these signals that we're able to do digitally and we're not able to do them in real life anymore. So, you know, like digitally, it's like I'll like something or I'll comment and that gives the person the hint. So I think they can be a really good instrument. I know some amazing couples. I went to 3 weddings last year that were from Catholic Match. So I do say that they can and they do work, but you have to discern and use it in the right way and don't become too digitized, like still be open to real life encounters as well.
It's interesting how the more choice you have, the harder it is to settle on one decision. And I guess now we're in a global world where there are so many other people out there that it can probably be quite difficult to just settle on one person who is good and try and make a beautiful relationship out of that.
Yeah, we also have this perfectionism mindset and that also leads us into procrastination. And we're seeing that across our careers, across our kind of like adulthood in general, and yes, across the vocation of marriage, because people are so scared to make the wrong decision. And of course, as Catholics, we believe that marriage is a sacrament and it's not something we can just walk away from. So sometimes that can almost paralyze you, this indecision fatigue. But I think you're right in that point that, you know, A, none of us are perfect. You're actually never going to know if you've made the right decision. All you can know is if you're making the decision right. Mm-hmm. Like there are, of course, things that are right or wrong, but in life there's like a lot that isn't so binary.
Yeah. Yeah. Huge decision to make, but yeah, very good advice that you're giving to our listeners there. Thank you. So what practical steps would you suggest for any Catholic men and women that are starting out on their dating journeys?
Yeah, I think definitely understanding what love and marriage is to begin with is really good. There's lots that we can't learn in a book, and there's lots that we won't learn until we're actually married to our spouse. But I do think understanding that and knowing that you're not going to get your value from this other person, from your relationship status, and to not idolize marriage or the other person. It's so easy to want to put someone on a pedestal. And I think if you really can, if you can be a really strong single person, you're going to be so strong in the dating game. Like if your faith life is good, and I know that fluctuates, of course, but like if you just have good self-esteem, good confidence, and you know your inherent value, it's going to be so much easier to bring that into the dating world, and you're going to be a joy as well. And I think as well, knowing the boundaries of dating, because the Catholic young adult group is small in a sense. It's quite a small world. The chances are you might go for a coffee with someone, maybe it won't work out, and you're going to see them in 3 days at mass or at an event. So I think just dealing with respect and being really open to these situations, and just treating everyone with dignity.
So you've brought up what can be sometimes the elephant in the room, and that's boundaries. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on chastity and what does that mean for you with regards to dating?
Yeah, there's a really good book called, I think it's just called Boundaries on Dating. It's one of the Dr. Henry Cloud books. It's really good. I would recommend it. In terms of chastity, I think that we need to talk about that from a physical and an emotional point of view, because I like to think that as Catholics, we've kind of got the physical side covered. And something I do try to say is that when you are in a courtship, you have to really respect whoever boundary is the lowest, like whoever has the lowest threshold. So, you know, you might be able to like hold your partner's hand and give them a kiss on the lips, and that's fine. While your partner, that might actually be too much for them. So you have to like respect the person with the lowest threshold in order to really try to build up that virtue of chastity, which is not just for single people. It's obviously for us throughout life. But it's the emotional chastity that I really talk about a lot, because I think that that is one which is so easy to cross the boundary of. You know, how many times at school, I don't know if you did this with your friends, but, you know, and it's like, oh, if I married this guy, this would be my last name. Doesn't that sound really nice? Or like, look how nice my first name looks with this guy's last name. Or imagine what our kids would look like. And I think with Catholics, because if you do feel you're a call to the vocation of marriage, you can quite quickly start imagining that married and family life with someone who isn't your spouse. And that's where things can get a bit murky, because your heart gets a little confused, like, oh, is this my spouse? Because we're talking about having children and what it'd be like, you know, when we have 7 boys and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So I think that it's the emotional side that is probably the more complex and difficult to navigate.
That's so interesting that you focus on the emotional side, which is a little bit more blurry and hard to, as you say, difficult to navigate, difficult to establish where to draw the line. Yeah, really, really interesting. Thank you. Okay, I wonder, Delphine, if you were to step back in time and think about yourself when you first started dating, what's the best piece of advice that you would give your younger self?
Gosh, I was one of those very excited teenagers who was like, I want a boyfriend. Like as soon as I was like 14, I was like, I want a boyfriend. So I think I would want to step back, because looking back at myself, I always had the desire for marriage and family, but it was so disordered. Like I was really seeing my value in, oh, yeah, if I have a boyfriend, then, you know, I'll be cool. Everyone will like me. So I think I would like to tell myself, like, first, understand what love is. Because I had no idea that love is willing the good of another. I thought love was something that made me feel good, that made me warm and fuzzy. And I realized a lot of that kind of dating aspect in my younger years was emotional use of another person. It was like, oh, it's really great to have someone to text all day, every day, or whatever it is. And there wasn't this element of really a sacrificial love. And I think I'm still on the fence about this one, but I do think if you're not ready for marriage, you shouldn't really be dating, because dating is something you should do with intention. And, you know, at like 15, I'm not ready for marriage, for example. Mm. So, and I'm still navigating that, because I do think that it's healthy to have, especially to build up your confidence or speaking to the opposite sex. And obviously now what I'm seeing in some of the young circles, I don't want to say all of them, is this lack of comfortability with the opposite sex. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think I would just try to explain to my younger self what love and marriage and family is really about.
This is so interesting what you say. I've heard it said that you need to be able to love your the person that you're dating as a sister or as a brother before you can really learn to love them as a spouse.
Yeah, which obviously to secular world must sound a bit bonkers.
Crazy.
But, but no, I absolutely understand that, because it's really easy to start seeing someone else for what they give you. So the moment that, you know, they're not, you know, encouraging you enough or lifting you up enough, it's like, oh, I don't love you anymore. And that's completely the wrong definition, because you should love them for their wholeness and their entirety. And also, we can't love someone for their circumstance or situation. You know, it might be that someone is in a position to be really supportive and encouraging of us, but only for a season. And then they're going to be really busy with something else, and you're going to have to kind of play that role. So if you're not loving that person for who they are rather than what they do for you, things are going to get very murky very quickly. And I think that's what they mean when it's like, love that, you know, person as a brother or sister in Christ, because we're all part of the body of Christ.
Yeah. It's interesting that that definition of love and really understanding it, I think can be maybe one of the most difficult things for us as we grow, grow into adulthood, and then also grow in relationship with another. You mentioned the phrase being ready for marriage. What does that look like?
I'm happy you called me out on that, actually, because I don't think we'll ever be ready. You know, there's often, and this is also the issue, you know, we're seeing plummeting birth rates, we're seeing people get married later. And it is because as a world, as a whole, we're really feeling like we have to be ready. Like we have to be financially ready, spiritually ready, emotionally ready. And I will challenge myself on saying that, in the sense that you won't ever be ready for any of these things, really, truly, but you can be prepared. Like you can have some element of preparation. And I think if you've had intentional preparation of understanding what you want to walk into, and also understanding your vision and values, like you're never going to meet the carbon copy of yourself. That would be so creepy. But if you understand your vision and values, so obviously faith is going to be a huge part of the values, but if your vision is to raise children around each other's families, you already know that you probably want to try to meet someone who lives in the same country as you.
Yeah.
You know, it's things like this which just help to make you make decisions that aren't imprudent and not a waste of time.
It's interesting, because I think often we just go fully into the heart and how we're feeling, but actually stepping to the level of considering the logic and what's reasonable and what's appropriate for us too is super important.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Delphine. I've really, really enjoyed chatting to you about this really important issue that maybe isn't discussed so much. And especially amongst the Catholic world. I won't forget that description of the young adults event where the men and the women were really separate, because that seems to be, I guess, something that is putting a strain on us as Catholics, and being able to grow together and being able to warm towards each other and find really meaningful relationships that will hopefully help lead us to heaven. So thank you so much. If you want to follow Delphine, please do check out Instagram and YouTube, where you can find her at Delphine Discusses, or on LinkedIn and Twitter at Delphine Chewy. Any last words for our viewers, for our listeners?
No, just thank you for listening, and please keep praying for vocations, because There's a lot of us kind of confused people trying to get through. And I think everything, Maria, that you just said is great, because we do just need to build up in confidence for friendship as well, because that's going to be the foundation of anything. And being able to speak confidently to the opposite sex is always going to be great for every aspect of our life.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Delphine. You've been listening to Mornings with Radio Maria with Delphine Chewy and me, Maria Bates. Have a wonderful day.
This was a Radio Maria podcast. If you enjoyed it, do please click like and subscribe on your podcast provider or leave us a review. Every bit of feedback helps increase our visibility and allows us to reach more people with the message of Christ's saving truth. And if you don't already, you can listen to Radio Maria live either online or on DAB in selected regions of the UK. We'd love for you to call in live and be part of the conversation. See our website, radiomariaengland.uk, for more details and a full schedule of programs. And do please consider making a donation so that we can keep making more programs like this. We are completely dependent upon the generosity of our listeners.